Welcome to Business Innovators Radio, featuring industry influencers and trendsetters sharing proven strategies to help you build a better life right now.
Welcome to Positive News Now. I'm your host, Gail Nowak, and today our guest is Catherine Louise Birmingham, author of Ride for Life, The Three Golden Principles for Riders. Catherine previously worked internationally as a dressage rider and trainer. She's now passionate about helping heal and change the world through her online intuitive energy readings and spiritual guidance sessions, as well as her global enlightened riding seminar and workshops for both riders and non-riders. Catherine has appeared in Rita Heston, Danish Horse Magazine, in the UK's Unconventional Athletes Magazine, as well as appeared as a guest speaker at the Wolfgang Cutting Xenophon Seminar in Germany. She currently lives with her partner in Italy, where they have opened their home as the Love in Nature Healing Retreat. Welcome, Catherine.
Thank you, Gail. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. And I'm really excited to talk about this because you're doing some interesting and unique things. So why don't you start with this unique twist that you have on spiritual and personal growth and tell us a little bit more about who you work with and your mission.
Okay. Basically, I work with riders and non-riders. So you don't have to have a horse in your life. It's just that I find my life, I've worked with horses my whole life, so I have been, the greatest connection I've had with people have been through the horse world, through the equestrian business of being a dressage trainer. But basically, I work mainly with people who are really wanting to change their life. Usually, they want to become better riders, and during the training process that we go through, they realize that a lot of their beliefs, their problems, and the issues in other areas of their life arise while they're riding, and the horses are metaphorically during their riding, their training, are giving the same solutions to the challenges that they're having in their life. So my main focus of how I work with people spiritually is basically trying to get in touch with their soul life purpose of what they're here, what their soul is wanting them to do, or what their soul is wanting them to learn from their difficult situations that they may have in life, and to get on path and get connected with that. So there's a lot of awareness, healing, and growth and clarity that comes from the work that I do. I just basically want to help people enlighten themselves and get on their soul's track.
So I want to just talk about the riders and horses for a minute, because I think that in a lot of traditions throughout the world, horses are sort of seen as powerful spiritual being. So I'm just kind of curious about that, the connection, whether you're a rider or not, actually, you know, just that connection with yourself and your soul and that of, you know, an animal and how that can help you grow and learn and heal. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, absolutely. Gail, that's a wonderful question. In fact, that's come up once before it's the basis of basically all the work I do. I believe horses are here helping us transform into a new stage of consciousness and self-awareness. So basically, they're literally helping the human race raise their consciousness. And you don't have to be a rider in order for that to happen. Even just being within the presence of a horse it alters brainwaves on a scientific point of view, but spiritually speaking, basically, they trigger our soul self. They trigger our inner child. They trigger our fears. You could be the biggest, strongest, muscliest, you know, meat-eating, gym-going male, ego-centered, and you put yourself near a horse and you watch that person completely change. Mm. You watch the truth of them surface. So their task that I have seen, whether they are with professional riders, whether they are with beginners, whether they're with children, the biggest thing is with children, that sometimes chaotic children that are going through a lot of problems, you put them with a horse and they completely calm, they completely become present, they become aware, they become focused, they become still. Horses help us with our fears, and fears is the way we spiritually grow. I often refer to fears as, say, for example, if you're going to a gym and you want to strengthen your muscle mass of your body, you need a counteracting weight against that. If you lift a feather, it's not going to get you to grow. So you lift something that's difficult, you lift something that's hard, and through that repetitive process, you slowly become stronger and stronger until that weight no longer affects you anymore and you're just enjoying that. This is what fear does with our soul. So we come here into this human form and we experience this illusion, we experience this black and white, this separation, this darkness, this good and evil, this ego self. And through that, it's our strengthening. It's our gym work for our soul. We have all these problems. We have all these emotional things that arise through having fears, whether it's losing a beloved person, a beloved partner, whether it's failing at your business, whether it's a fear of heights, whether it's a fear of drowning, whatever these fears are, they are there to help our soul's growth. That's basically why horses are here with us. This is why we have horses here helping us. They are far more evolved than we are. They are far greater consciousness, a higher consciousness, far more aware, far more spiritually connected. They are definitely so much further ahead than us, but they willingly offer up their lives each time to help us grow.
Yeah. And they really are magnificent animals, and you can, if you just spend any time around horses, you can see that they're communicating in ways that, you know, maybe as humans, we don't always understand. They're like, you can just tell, right? They're very intuitive. They're aware of their surroundings. They're communicating always. I haven't spent a whole lot of time around animals, but around horses in particular. I've spent a lot of time around animals, but you know, I think that they're all always communicating with us. It's a matter of are you open to it? And I love the analogy that you use with, you know, exercising those muscles. It's exercising the soul muscle, right? And what a beautiful thought that these creatures are here to help us, evolve and help us awaken kind of to our spiritual growth. So how did that happen to you? What inspired you to do this kind of work?
Just in reference to the what you've really picked up on there, Gail, because it's beautiful the way you've recognized that and you've seen that these horses, that how beautiful it is that they want to help us grow and they've come here to do that. In the end, we are all coming from the same source. We're all coming from the same energetic field. We are all basically made of the same stuff. Mm-hmm. So as you affect one part of that energy field, it ultimately affects everything. So horses are really, they're helping their own consciousness growth, they're helping their own vibration when they help lower beings raise their vibration, because it's all connected in the end. It's all raised. It's all, when you affect one part, you ultimately affect every part. So it's not just that we are these lucky beings that they're coming to help us. They're doing their own soul work as well. They're doing their own raising of their own vibrations through helping us as well. And how I came to connect with this, well, there's a couple of things really. There's two things that happened in my life that really made me stop and see things from a different perspective. The first one was, I never had horses in my life. I had to work very, very hard to have horses. I didn't come from a horse family. I didn't come from a rich family. I originally learned to ride on some local ponies that we knew where I would go. I was allowed to go and ride them. I used to ride them after school. I had no gear. I had no tack. I had no saddle, no bridle, nothing. I used to jump on this pony bareback. I used to just teach myself to ride. I was very, very, very connected to this one pony that I had. But my life slowly took me into then competitive riding, and then I moved over to Germany to take a more serious training career as a dressage trainer. And while I was over there, basically at the peak of my training that I was there, I had some bad falls and some training accidents, because I used to break in a lot of the young stallions. And I had ruptured two discs, a third one pinched, which ruptured later. And I had surgeons there tell me that I would never be able to ride again. You have to have operations. You have to stop professionally riding. And I didn't want to get operated. And I didn't want to stop riding. It was my life's passion. And I had worked so hard to get to where I was. So I searched for a spiritual approach. I needed a different way of healing. And that led me to more of the mental focus, more of the mental part of that, your how important your mind is, how important your awareness of your thoughts is, that mindfulness of yourself, who you are, and how that is affecting your cells of your body, how you're healing in that way. And the second one was after I then returned to my home country in Australia and started a business there because my father had cancer. And after 5 years, it didn't work. I pushed and pushed and pushed. I had so much stress over those years of being there. I had to close my business. And in that time, I lost everything. I lost my home. I lost my horses. I lost my staff. I lost everything I had worked my whole life towards to build. I just lost it all, materialistically lost. But then I went through a deep spiritual search, meditation, to try and find why I was alive. What was I learning from this? Why was this happening? I knew from everything I'd gone through before that outside is a reflection of inside. So if I want my life on the outside to change, I have to go in and find out what's going on the inside. Where are my thoughts, my beliefs? What's happening down there? I had a lot of healing I needed to go through and huge spiritual shifts and awakening that I went through during this time. So it was those two catalytic events that made me look at my own life differently. And that's how I then was realizing the work that I was meant to be doing to help others out of their own challenges and difficult times.
So talk to me about that, because not everybody necessarily makes that connection that it's an inner job, right? It's all about, you know, so within, so without. Exactly what you said, you know, what's happening on the outside is a reflection of what's happening on the inside. And some people raise their hand and they say, yeah, I'm going to try to figure this out. And they embark on the deep spiritual journey like you did, but other people don't. So what do you think are some of the things that hold people back from taking that spiritual journey and really working on the inside to make change in their life on the outside?
Fear. It's the catalyst of the change in the end. I always say that there's two ways that we use fear, Gail. We come into this human form and we will develop fears, and there's developed fears that are come on from this lifetime, and there's also fears that are triggers of past life events, of far more serious fears that are developed in past lives. And we'll either face those fears at different times of our life in different ways. Sometimes we'll let our soul use them and we will grow from them, and sometimes we will let our ego selves use the fear, and that's where we will use control, stress, repress, and we hold ourselves back from that spiritual growth. So there's two ways that we can use fear, and that is our ego self, and that controls, holds us back, tries to force, or we use our soul for that, and that is a releasing, a letting go, an understanding, and a transformation. We transform ourselves. The fear of change and the fear of loss is a massive fear for the human self, and that's not just from these lifetimes of maybe, you know, being homeless or losing your house or going bankrupt or something, or losing your partner that you love, that fear of being honest about how you feel or whatever it is. The thing is, a lot of these fears are developed from past lifetimes that are far more serious and have far more drastic consequences. So those two fears are extremely challenging for the human self, and sometimes that soul that comes here is not ready yet to face those fears. So they'll hold back on that, and they will stay in that stressful job, or they will stay in that unfulfilled materialistic life that they know is only on the surface, and know deep down there is something more, but they're just not ready yet. The biggest part to understand is that the ego self uses judgment. It lives in the judgmental self. So the more we try to judge ourselves that we are doing this and we shouldn't be doing this, that's just the ego self. So that's the ego self using the fear. Whatever, I always say, wherever you are and whatever stage you are at, honor it, because that's where you need to be in order to get to your own spiritual awakening. It may happen this lifetime and it may not. It may happen this year and it may not. It may happen this month and it may not. So there's no time frame in it. It will happen when it's ready to happen. And the only way you can get to where you want to be is through where you are now. It's important to honor where you are at. There is a Zen proverb that says the obstacle is the path. And that's the whole truth of why we are living this human life. It's not a trying to avoid all the challenges and all the unsuccessful things that society tells us we shouldn't be doing. It's through those times that our soul grows. Older souls come here and live a lifetime with a lot of challenges because they know that's how they grow. A younger soul that's still getting comfortable with the human life will often come with a fairly easy life just to adjust themselves. Or they'll go into a more spiritual life of, say, being more enclosed by a religion or something that guides them, something that basically tells them how to live a human life. But the older the soul is, the more challenging life that you have, the more growth you're doing. So just understand that. That's what I generally let people know when they're having a lot of problems in their life.
So a couple of things that...
Sorry, yes.
No, it's great. That I want to pick up on. So first of all, you alluded to this a little bit in your response, but if you could just explain with a little bit more detail the difference of how a person would know the experience of fear from the ego perspective versus the soul perspective. What is that actually? How does that actually feel different so that the listeners can know whether or not, okay, you know, that fear is in a place of like, okay, I'm trying to manipulate a situation or control a situation versus, all right, I'm recognizing that something is coming up in me, but I'm going to honor it.
Okay. Exactly. Two of the main things is what you've just pinpointed there. One of the main things fear does is it has a need for control. So it restricts, it holds back, and it will do one of two things. It will either force things to happen through trying to control everything, to try and force everything to happen, or it will try and control everything and suppress everything that nothing happens. So it tries to hold back. It tries to make sure that it won't make any effect on anything. Don't mess things up. Don't just leave it as is. It's that polar opposite. Whereas your soul self will be in the position of acceptance, and it releases and it learns to let go, to let what is. There is no, it uses that fear to understand the process of accepting and letting go. Or it uses that fear of saying, right, you need to take responsibility for how you're feeling. Don't blame it on other things, people, situations, or events, and understand why you are feeling that way. Take ownership over it, take control over it, and then with that ownership and with that understanding, take steps towards change. So there's two very, very different polar opposites there. Mm. Change with acceptance is the soul self of understanding, responsibility, with no not blaming others, whereas then the ego self will use change with force, with being a victim, and with wanting to control outcomes.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. It kind of, the thought that came to me as you were explaining that, it's yes, kind of like when you experience that fear, you sort of catch your breath, and yes, with you can react by holding your breath,
yes,
or you can just let it out and okay.
Which most riders do. Don't worry, when there's a horse rider that has fears, they're all holding their breath. Don't you worry about that.
So the other thing that I wanted to just sort of acknowledge that you said, the timing piece, I think as humans that, and I think in the world that we live in a little bit has conditioned us for that instant gratification. And so I think a big part of a spiritual journey is sort of recognizing that things are not necessarily going to happen on your timeline. And do you find that with your clients, that's an area where it's easy to get tripped up, or do you have a technique or a method to help people sort of relax into that concept of everything in the right timing?
Yes, look, absolutely. That's a huge thing. And it's something I went through as well. Trying to build my own business, thinking this should be done by now. This should be going by now.
Right.
But without realizing that it wasn't working because I had a spiritual awakening that was waiting for me. Mm. And how long that spiritual awakening went for a year and a half. I was meditating for a year and a half. I had basically little to no money. I was living off white light meditation. I was eating only three meals a week. But that whole process was less fearful and less stressful for me because I was seeing it from a different perspective than the 5 years of trying to build my business. Because the other one was a place of acceptance and letting go of control, letting go of control of the outcomes. And that's what you're basically saying there, of saying the timeline of when this should be done by is trying to control outcomes. To the soul self and on the spiritual realm, there is no time. We're only existing in this now, and that past and the future is all in one dimension. That's a different subject, and I won't go into that here. But to bring it simply for somebody that is struggling with when this should be done by, understanding that there is still things to be learnt in what you are going through now. There is only the now, which is a huge spiritual perspective, which is a huge spiritual truth. So once you can understand that what you're going through right here, right now is necessary. And as I said before, the obstacle is the path. You're not trying to get through that to get to the other end. What you're going through is what you're actually learning from, what you're actually growing from. So instead of trying to rush past it, honor it. The more you try and rush past it, the more you're going to repeat it, because you need that experience to have your growth. And if you keep missing the growth, you're going to attract that experience again. So as I often say to riders as well, don't try and quickly get them don't try and quickly get past that difficult phase that you're having with your horse. Honor that phase, learn from that phase, because that phase is what's actually making you a master rider. And if you want to be the master rider, stop trying to run away from the one thing that is helping you become that.
Wow. So you just gave an example of some of the outcomes or potential outcome that a client can have after working with you. Do you have some other examples how your clients have changed after, you know, getting spiritual guidance from you and taking their own journeys?
Yes, definitely. I think that there's four key things that I think develop. So I'll give some examples, but basically as we go through these challenges and we come through them through the coaching and the training from them, I've often found that then people will come out of them, whether it's riding or life related, with a sense of freedom, peace, clarity, and understanding. And that freedom basically is the motherboard of all the others, of the peace, clarity, and the understanding is this freedom. And freedom is within the inside. It's not so much that I'm free to go doing whatever I like, but how I see things, how I'm feeling about things, I feel that freedom. I'm no longer feeling afraid from this situation. I'm no longer feeling controlled by this situation. I'm no longer feeling suppressed by this situation. I'm feeling free about it. I'm losing that mental judgment of it all the time. I've lost that mental judgment of guilt or I'm not good enough, or I should be better, or all those judgmental selves. So there's a freedom. There's an inner freedom. And with that inner freedom, that mental freedom becomes a freedom of feeling, and that's peace. So we develop this peaceful feeling about our situations in life. We learn to have a response of acceptance, change, instead of control, fear, and suppress and hold things back. That clarity is about seeing the truth of what we're going through, of understanding the stages, in other words. So say, for example, a higher level rider, a more experienced trainer rider that has ridden a lot of young horses and trained them up, when they are on horses that are having learning difficulties, having problems, They're not judging it anymore. They're not feeling emotionally affected by it anymore. They sit there and they ride through it because they know that to get to where they want to be with that horse, it requires that they go through the horse's confusion or misunderstandings or trying to give the owner something that doesn't, but they're not sure what it is. So they're just giving the owner everything until the owner said, until the rider says, yes, that's what I would like you to keep doing. Can you please keep doing that? But they're not judging the other things as good or bad. Mm-hmm. So there is this clarity and understanding of what we're going through is no longer being judged as good or bad. It is just being seen as I've asked life for more. It's giving me more. And when I get to what I want, then I will start focusing on that and building on that and putting my attention towards that. The understanding also comes under that same umbrella. It's understanding life is we're here to grow. We're here to learn. It's not an easy ride. And if it was, we're not learning anything from it. We're not growing anything from it. So instead of being afraid of those challenges, we learn to embrace those challenges and see them as what they're here to give us instead of fearing them and trying to run away from them. So they're probably the main umbrella of changes that we come through. It's a freedom, a peace, a clarity, and an understanding. But at the same time, when we gain those things, we find that a lot of those really challenging events that we went through tend to start to leave us because we don't need them anymore. Just as when we go to the gym and we lift that weight and then we start to get strong and that weight no longer feels challenging. It no longer hurts us anymore. So that weight is easy and we can put that weight down and try something else. Do you understand what I'm saying with this, Gail? That our life does change when we do that inner work and we do the inner changes, but it doesn't mean that we're still not going to attract some problems.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Because how do you get to that next level without some sort of contrast or work to be done? Right. It's not really kind of going back to what you were saying before. It's not about the destination. It's about the journey, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, I know you're talking about this through the lens of horse and rider, but as I was listening to you, I was like, oh, wouldn't it be amazing if this would be the approach that I took with my children or if I took with other people in my lives, right? And so I'm sure that that's something that your clients probably experience and appreciate as well. You know, if they're handling their horses in that way, I would imagine that it spills over to other aspects of their life too.
Gail, it's exactly what I teach. Everything I teach is basically everything about the horse is a metaphor for life. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because I have three children and I'm constantly trying to explain to my partner, darling, it's exactly like the horses. Our two-year-old little girl, you have to treat her like the horses the right. same way. No, but how she's learning, it's the same freedom with boundaries, no judgment. Just focus on the behavior that you want the child to develop and ignore the behaviors you don't want to develop. It's the same thing. Don't hold judgment against it. It is all, everything. I've written my first book I wrote, Ride for Life, The Three Golden Principles for Riders, is literally a three-step guide to living life because the horse is a metaphor for life.
And when people are feeling stressed or uncertain or fearful in their lives and they're in this place of panic or just yes. or maybe frozen in place, what's the most important thing that they need to consider to just break out of that and take whatever the next best step is?
The most important thing to recognize is that your soul planned those times for your growth and your awakening. And this is where, again, it's about first taking a moment of acceptance, of breathing, of taking in that acceptance and understanding I'm in this for a reason. I'm in this for a reason. What am I learning from it? Because the more you try and run away from it and escape the experience, you may push it away for a little while, but you will keep getting a repeat. I guarantee you that. Because your soul has come here to learn from it. And if you don't want to learn from it now, well, you're going to learn from it later.
You're going to learn later, and it's just going to get bigger.
But at the same time, you might not be ready to learn it. You might not have gained the tools for it. Mm-hmm. So very often, I have noticed within my own life and a lot of people I've coached, whether it's riding or in their life, is that they get that lesson coming to them again and again and again. But each time they get a little bit more aware, a little bit stronger, a little bit wiser, a little bit more clearer, until they have built the tools and built the skills to overcome that experience and to learn from it entirely. And then that experience leaves them and they don't need it anymore.
Yeah, I've certainly had those experiences in my life too. I've had that moment of like, oh God, I thought I dealt with this.
Yes.
And then it comes back and it's like, No,
I haven't learned entirely from it yet, but it's not that you're getting worse or that you didn't do it right. It just means that yes, you did. You're getting it again because you've learned from it, because you're ready for it. I love, there's that wonderful saying, I have no idea who originally said it, but that life only gives us nothing more or less than what we are ready to deal with. Mm. So you're like, everything you're going through is what you're ready for. It's the problem that we then face is when we judge it or we see ourselves as bad or wrong for having that problem. And that's society. That's the ego self. That's the ego using fear and placing it upon society and saying, this is where you're bad and you're wrong. You shouldn't be doing this. You should be following the way everybody else does things or what we have decided means success or abundance.
And really to sum it all up, it's about self-love, right?
Yeah, that's the greatest lesson of it all. Yeah. Well, in the end, we are our true essence, our true energy is love. But we come and experience this black, this evil, this darkness to understand our real love. And the greatest love we will ever develop over all the lifetimes we come here and live is self-love.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you so much, Catherine, for your insights today. How can people find out more about you and your work?
Okay, the best way to find me is my website, which is basically my name, CatherineLouiseBirmingham.com. And I interact quite a lot on Facebook. I have a professional page on Facebook, which is, again, Catherine Louise Birmingham. I do LinkedIn a little bit. I've just started Twitter, but that's moving very fast for me. And because I'm a writer, I don't get the chance to really write on that. So definitely Facebook and my website. And anybody is welcome to contact me. I do love feedback and I love helping people.
And even though you're based in Italy, you work with people all over the globe, right?
All over the world, yes, because my energy readings are done online, whether it's WhatsApp, telephone, Skype, they're all over the world.
Until next time, remember, be your best story and share your positive news now.
Thanks for listening to Business Innovators Radio. To hear all episodes featuring leading industry influencers and trendsetters, visit us online at businessinnovatorsradio.com today.